The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes it so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word I spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, the gospel is one of these beautiful, powerful ones about Jesus as the vine and us as the branches. Very fundamental and classic idea that's so central to our faith. But first, in the first reading we had, we get kind of an insight, kind of a peek through the window into the early church, what it was like. And we see this time after St. Paul had his conversion. Remember, he was persecuting the Christians as a Pharisee, and he has this conversion. And this chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles takes place after his conversion. But evidently, he was still controversial because many of the Christians didn't accept him. They didn't believe it, that he had really converted. They weren't cutting him any slack. They were skeptical about this Paul, who all of a sudden came along and said, yep, I'm one of you guys now. And you wonder, like, why didn't they just accept the convert, you know? And we're happy that he repented. Well, I got a feeling it was because many of them had relatives and friends who had been put to death by Saul when he was a Pharisee. They were maybe still languishing in dungeons and prisons. You know, he had his conversion. That was all well and good. But what about my brother or my dad? My mom is in prison someplace because of him. It was hard for them to forgive and simply accept this new St. Paul as a leader in the church. And so some of them wanted to kill him. And the solution those early Christians had was put him on a boat in the port town of Caesarea and send him back to where he came from in Tarsus. And we know from the rest of the Acts of the Apostles that he stayed there many years until St. Barnabas went and fetched him. And they didn't bring him back to Jerusalem. They went up to Antioch, and they started up there, and then they became the great missionaries. But it was difficult for the early Christians to forget about all he had done. And yet they were called to live that forgiveness, right? We know how hard that is. It wasn't any easier for them. And then we have this beautiful letter, first letter of St. John, which is a gem. I really recommend you read it over. It's pretty short. And it answers the question of how do we know we belong to the truth? Oh, because we know we can deceive ourselves. We're good at that, telling ourselves lies. And St. John answers here, we know we belong to the truth because we believe in the name of Jesus, and we love as he commanded, and then we receive the consolation of the Holy Spirit. Well, that can sound awfully subjective. Like, we all say we believe in Jesus, and we all say we love, and so we pat ourselves on the back and say we're good people. But when we stop and really think about the words St. John says, to believe in Jesus Jesus' name and keep his commandment and love one another as he commanded us to. That's pretty demanding. Because at the Last Supper, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, which means the cross. It means sacrifice. It means being inconvenienced. It means forgiving, even when the guy, like St. Paul, doesn't seem to deserve it in our minds. No, we want to forgive the people that are easy to forgive, and the people who are truly repentant and ask and beg for our pardon. But the other people who are tougher to forgive, we hold grudges, resentments. Yeah, we know we walk in the truth when we can love like Jesus did, forgiving his persecutors. And then we receive the consolation of the Holy Spirit, right? When we do it the way Jesus did it. But for that to happen, the gospel is the key there, because Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. And we all can see, okay, that's a good analogy. It's like, you know, if a branch gets cut off from the vine, it's going to wither and die. Right? And so we have to stay connected to Jesus. You know, his grace is what keeps us alive spiritually. But he says, I am the true vine. It makes us think, like, okay, what's the real source of our life? I think for many people today, their real source of energy and strength and life is their hard work and their quest for material gain, right? Money, right? If I got money, then I've got strength and I've got power. Or maybe for some people, it's just control, right? Power. If I can control my whole environment around me, if I'm in charge and I can manipulate things and people, right, then I have life, right? We identify it with control. Yeah, for some people it's that. And society keeps telling us it's maximum freedom. Do whatever you want. Unfettered. No constraints, right? Then you've got real life. That's the life you want. Be able to do whatever occurs to you. But Jesus is saying, those are all the false vines. Those are the vines that give us an illusion of life. And only he is the true vine. And it's only his divine grace that gives us the life that lasts for eternity. And only then will we have that consolation of the Holy Spirit, of knowing we walk in the truth. It's so encouraging to see that people are waking up to this, right? I think many people are dissatisfied with depending on material things or control and power or just unlimited freedom for their source of life. And you see this sometimes with the people who seem to have everything. And lately there have been this little rash of conversions to the Catholic faith from celebrities. Last year, I think it was that actor Shia LaBeouf became a Catholic, right? He played Padre Pio in a movie, and he was so touched by the example of the Franciscans that he was around while they were filming the movie. And he had such a troubled life with addictions and so on, he became a Catholic. And then there was Candace Owens, the podcaster, right? She became a Catholic just this Easter. Amazing, you know. And then there's that comedian, the crazy guy, Russell Brand. He said he's getting baptized. I don't know if he's becoming a Catholic. That might be a bridge too far. But, you know, he's becoming a Christian, right? He said he's going to get baptized. So let the Holy Spirit do the rest. But these are the people who have it all. By the standards of the world, they got money, they got freedom, they got power. They're influencers. But they know that they need Christ. They come to see it. Because that's the real life. All the rest dies. All the rest is so limited. And Jesus says, if you remain connected to the vine, that is, that flow of divine grace into your soul, you'll bear much fruit. Your life will be fruitful. It'll be worthwhile. It'll bring joy and happiness, peace, love. And it'll give life to other people as well. They'll benefit from it too. But then he says something ominous we don't want to really listen to. And my Father will prune all the branches. First of all, he'll take away that which does not bear fruit. Sometimes if you got a bush or a plant, you realize there's one branch on it, it's dead. The rest of it looks pretty healthy. But there's some disease or some pest that's gotten into it, right? Some parasite is eating away at that one branch. And it's a reminder to us that even though, yeah, physically we might be connected, we got baptized, but we're dying on the vine because we've allowed some sin to infect our life. And he says, my Father cuts that one away. Yeah. But then also the healthy branches, he also prunes, and we don't want to hear this. We like to think of ourselves as the healthy branches. Just leave us alone. We're doing fine. But he prunes us to make us bear more fruit. That doesn't seem fair. Like, hey, I'm doing everything right. I'm staying connected to the vine. Why is he pruning me? To bear more fruit in holiness. And that's so many times God does that, right? When things are going well, we think, hey, I'm doing it right. Suffering and sacrifice come into our life. I remember the story of Father Chizik. He was one of those Jesuits that was getting trained during the Cold War to go into communist countries where the church was illegal. And they had a whole seminary set up to send these guys in undercover so they could minister to the faithful and baptize and marry people and say mass in secret. And he spent years and years training. And then as soon as he got there to Russia, he was arrested. And he spent most of his adult life in the gulag out in Siberia and in solitary confinement. And then he was released from that. He was under house arrest and monitored constantly. Never really had a chance to exercise his ministry. Finally, he was freed in a prisoner exchange after many years. Came back to New York. And what about all the hopes that he had had to bear fruit? Well, they bore fruit in other ways. That his ministry gave life to others. He wrote beautiful books. Same with Cardinal Tran over in Vietnam. He had a flourishing diocese and everything was going well. And he was put in solitary confinement by the communists. But that was the opportunity for him to learn to suffer. And he wrote beautiful works of spirituality that had benefited millions more than were in his diocese. That's the way God works, right? Our own Saint Gianna Mola, after whom we named Gianna's house, our pregnancy resource center. Right? She had it all. She was an OBGYN and a mom in Italy. And then she became pregnant and then was diagnosed with a tumor. She was advised to abort the baby so she would live, and she said no. She gave birth to the baby, and then finally she died. She was held up as a saint by the church. Well, gosh, you know, that's a tough case. But her husband and children lived on, and they told the story, and they inspired so many more people by her witness of heroic love to lay down your life for your friend, for your child. And she's become the inspiration for so many women with difficult pregnancies, and so many women who can't have children, so many women who struggled to become pregnant, so many women who are tempted by abortion as a solution. She's doing so much more good so she can bear more fruit. That's why the Lord prunes us and allows suffering into our lives. Because we're connected to the vine, but we have to bear even more fruit. The people we worry about the most are the people who have cut themselves off from the vine, right? And we've got all got people like that in our lives. And those people, maybe we're being pruned for their good. Maybe some of our sufferings can bring them the grace they need to connect again to the real source of life and grace, which is Jesus, and to keep his commandments, to love one another as he loved us. So yeah, our job is to pray for those others so that they can reconnect to the vine. Because there's no salvation in any other name than the name of Jesus Christ. There's no material profit or benefit. There's no freedom. There's no power that's ever going to save us except when we're connected to Jesus.